You're listening to the Prison Poetry Workshop podcast. I'm Ren Smith. Here we present readings, commentary, recordings, and stories about the little known and even less understood literary tradition of prison poetry. Randall Horton grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, during the turbulence of the 1960s.
Ain't gonna let nobody load it. Turn me round, turn me round, turn me round.
He was 2 years old when the 16th Street Baptist Church was bombed by the Ku Klux Klan. His family lived only a few blocks away. At a time when racist forces were determined to thwart it, Randall found himself part of the integration push. His parents were both school teachers, so his family valued education. His father knew predominantly white schools had more resources. His wife taught at one. So that's where Randall went.
I can remember, you know, going to school and, you know, having to face, students, man. I was the only African-American kid in class, and, you know, and so I was being called N-word every day. I had to fight almost every day.
By the early 80s, Randall was headed to historically black Howard University in Washington, D.C. But before he could graduate, he developed a crack habit. He dropped out of school and, by the 1990s, was in prison. When he was released in 2005, he felt like a failure. So, shortly after being freed, he both went back to school and began writing poetry. Poetry that harkened back to his Alabaman roots. Those roots revealed something important. He wasn't alone.
I was talking to my father one day. He said, yeah, your grandfather was in prison. I'm like, really? You know, why you never told me that? And because he died when I was in sixth grade, so the conversations about his life were very spotty. And he was like, well, it's just something we never talked about.
Randall's grandfather's crime, by today's standards, seems relatively innocent.
He went to jail for selling moonshine.
But Randall no longer felt alone. And as he dug deeper into his heritage, found more ancestors who'd had run-ins with the criminal justice system. Two uncles of his went to prison for getting into a shootout. In this poem, Randall channels his grandfather's voice as he sits in prison thinking about his wife.
So this is called Elvie, Time to Think About It. Baby swells inside my Rosetta, soon to enter harshness I feel. I might come from a little throwout, Hobbs Island, but dreams is what keep a man living big. Like spots on a dice, life teeters on snake eyes or 7-Eleven. Craps, what I yell, stomach 5 fingers full of shine. Eyes blaze red as the revenuers came and busted our steel in Marshall County. It's Hoover got us living hand to mouth. Not for my wife, sweetest plum on vine. I plucked you ripe ready out of 5 sisters. When I laid eyes on that butterscotch skin, I thought no day worked for those hands. Cane break smile gave me a fever. Now something, a part of me is a part of you. I got mouths to feed and too much jail time to think about it. In the spring, there would be a china berry tree and lavender leaves. This would be my testament, a year and a day. Give my Rosetta a world ain't yet seen.
The berry tree with lavender leaves that appeared in the poem wasn't pulled from Randall's imagination. It was real.
It was in the front of the yard, and that was supposed to be a testament for their love.
That love was strong. In another poem, Randall channels his grandmother and imagines the longing she must have felt giving birth without his grandfather around. The poem's called Rosetta, A Year of Emptiness.
It was a great gasp of breath, a painful push into midwife's arms who welcomed our son shedding August rain. 12 long months have silenced the way we language each other in body rhythm. Miss is the way you tug my peach tree braid tight against your chest and we lie spoon shaping the glow of a silent night. I long to trace country roads inside your field hands with my fingertips for you to see the miracle. Remember how we pulled cotton before it sunburned? Elvie, it's a new deal with Roosevelt. A man can't keep throwing dice on whiskey and homebrew. Our miracle will never feel the sun whip across his back, a sharecrop year to year with nothing to show except empty promises and a shotgun shack. You did not ripen me too soon. I wait for the day I feel your strength against my body, strong like the first time we kissed.
The couple felt so deeply about one another. Randall's grandmother was able to convince his grandfather to leave the outlaw life behind once he was released from prison.
He made a promise to my grandmother that when he came out that he would get a job and do right. And he actually came out and worked in the steel mill for 30-some years, and, you know, retired. Steel mill. He was a nuts and bolts man. Forget what he used to do. He was a big guy. He's called him Big 70. He had one of the hardest jobs, and he did that job for 30-some years, man.
His father never mentioned any of this to Randall growing up. He was a proud man who wanted his son to know he came from good stock. And in a way, 82-year-old Clarence Horton thinks, the moonshine story doesn't matter much at all.
Guess I looked at it as, you know, my father was doing what he had to do to take care of his family. And it was obviously against the law, but he did what he had to do, and then he moved his family away. And he was a pretty model citizen, so I didn't see any need to go into that prior to that time.
But for Randall, it was important to know that he wasn't alone in having made some mistakes, and that those mistakes didn't have to define him.
For a long time, I thought it was just me that was just a screw up in the family, you know? So it just gives you some context and sort of, you know, makes you understand what maybe, you know, I'm not saying it's hereditary or nothing like that, but it just gives you the context. It's, you know, saying, okay, well, you know, I've had other family members that go through some things, and, you know, it's not, and so that just gives me context.
After getting out of prison with just some college credits under his belt, Randall Horton made good. He finished a PhD in just 3 years and now teaches poetry at New Haven University. He's also published 4 books. How he's handled his life after more than a decade of incarceration would likely make his grandfather, the former moonshiner, proud.
I'm Alabama bound, Alabama bound.
I'm Ren Smith. We'll be back next week with more prison poetry. To find out how you can lend your voice to our poetry archive, go to prisonpoetryworkshop.org.